Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Should farmers be willing to move grain already in the bin? We'll ask that question and many more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. During this half hour, we'll talk with Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt. Our panelists in studio today are Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois, and Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Should Wyatt farmers in the Midwest be willing sellers of old and new crop corn and soybeans on price hikes between now and the end of the year? And at what levels bases the December and November contracts?
I'm certainly a seller of the new crop 08 corn today. That 425 area has seen some pretty stiff resistance on the way up. On the old crop side, certainly if your bins are full, be thinking about some sales to get them cored out in the December, January time frame. And then on the soybeans, I'd be looking at levels to sell January beans for fall 08 also, but I would be waiting on the new crop, probably selling the old crop first.
Steve Schilling?
I'm total agreement on the old. I think anytime you can get a $4 or close to a $4 cash price out of the field, that's a sale. You've got to get started with something, particularly with our inputs going up so drastically. Beans, I'm probably a little more conservative maybe than Wyatt. Been around the block a time or two, and I think it's time to get some new beans sold. I realize they've got a lot of upside potential, and I'm not talking about selling all your new crop beans, but at least get something on the books to get something started.
And Chris Hurt.
Well, I'd sure say on the old crop, we want to look at some selling opportunities over this next 30 days, I think, as we go into Thanksgiving and very early December. On the old crop, let's earn all the carry we can out of that market right now. That tells me selling old crop for delivery out of the on-farm storage into next summer. And again, for the new crop, I still am reasonably optimistic on the soybeans. And on the corn side, again, getting started, as the others say, and nothing wrong with that $4 level.
In the corn pit this week, December futures, a high of $3.80¾, the low at $3.66½. Nearby settled a nickel higher at $3.77 December 08. Corn at $4.25½, up 5¾ cents. Maybe we better check in with the grain elevator operator over here. Can we sell $4 corn today in Champaign County?
Cash bid off the combine for fall of 08 is $4 even today.
All right.
What about old?
Yeah, on the old crop, our cash bid is $3.67. You're going to have to go back into the future to get that $4 mark. We're close to it on June, July delivery. Our July bid is actually $4 even tonight. But board levels on the Dece March futures have not allowed us to get to a $4 spot yet.
Steve, when you look at the charts, is there any reason that you're able to define maybe a trading range for the Dece 07 corn? Is it 340 to 380, 320 to 380? What do you see?
Definitely 340 to 380, and we've been in this for quite a while. I think all the grains, even though we're talking a little bit about the technicals here, obviously they're following things that Wyatt and I definitely, and hopefully Chris Hurt is has more expertise than we do, and that being the oil, the gold, the financials, the outside influences we have had. But we have not been able to break out of this 340, 380 range in corn for several weeks.
Chris, speaking of following the financial side of the market, what do you see when you look at the financial side of the market at this point and the way the dollar in particular relates to exports for U.S. corn and soybeans? Will it eventually get cheap enough that it's detrimental?
Well, obviously, we had seen a lot of support on the dollar. As we go back even a 20-year horizon, just somewhat higher than where we are right now. And breaking to new lows, as we've seen over the last month, I think is reflecting something really quite fundamentally different in the dollar, and that is to say that the dollar isn't the safe haven as a currency out in the world that it always was. This is all tied up with oil prices also. As we all know, oil is denominated in dollars, and so what we see is when that oil pushes higher and higher and higher, those foreign countries that actually have very strong countries' currencies right now relative to the dollar makes it somewhat easier relative to us to buy that oil. So the dollar, I think, can continue to fall. We don't really know just how far down it can go, but I think right now we'd say we can't see a turnaround. What's going to fundamentally cause us to hit the bottom and then see that dollar turn back? It's going to be weak. Now, can it get too weak? We have to buy inputs on the farm. And remember, we do buy things like fertilizer from overseas and fuel overseas. And those things are going to get more and more expensive as the dollar goes down. Also, a weak dollar reflecting the U.S. economy is not looking very good. And that's our domestic side of demand. So I think if we see too weak of a dollar reflecting too much of a weak U.S. economy, that's not a good reflection in the long run for demand of ag products.
On the flip side of that, do you see our exports being able to continue to take off with the weak dollar?
Well, I think so. And again, on wheat, we're virtually sold out. We're going to have relatively small sales from here on out. Some have interpreted that as a bit of bearishness, as we've seen the wheat export numbers in terms of the sales really drop off the last couple of weeks. But the bottom line is all the sellers know, we just don't have that much wheat. We're virtually sold out. I think on the soybean side, obviously, the world's waiting to see what South America looks like.
Taking a look now at what USDA will do in the October crop production report. It's due out next Friday. Private forecasters for corn have reduced their crop estimates. F.C. Stone estimated this week the crop at 13.24 billion bushels, while Informa pegged the crop at 13.193 billion. Both are lower than the October USDA estimate of 13.318. Steve, does this meet with the facts you've been gathering from the field?
Well, to be real honest, we've been struggling getting anything out of Iowa, and that's one of the areas that it has these two reports have dropped. It seems like the West has decreased a little bit from the last estimate, and the East has increased. So, until we see what the USDA says, it's really hard to get a handle on this. And I would assume out in Iowa it's all the wet weather that they've had and the flooding and so on and so forth. It's probably caused some of their problems.
Chris, have you talked to Bob Wisner at Iowa State to see how they're doing?
Yeah, I haven't talked to Bob, but again, I get mixed reports. It seems like a lot of the reports we hear from the production sector have been very good in terms of yields, particularly Illinois and eastern Iowa. And certainly Indiana, I think, ended up better, particularly on corn, than what most had anticipated. So I'm really mixed on this one. Some of the early reports saying down, and I truly was surprised that USDA went down in October.
On a related issue, Wyatt, have you been able to move grain, and do you think that the system itself has been able to handle the large crop that we brought in so far this season?
Certainly, up to this point, we've not really been having any troubles getting a hold of trains. We were actually able to start picking up our ground pile this week, and the trains moving to the southeast are going at a pretty brisk pace. Part of this could be attributed to the slowness of the harvest in the east and the lack of crop, so to speak. A lot of our train sales go to the southeast feeder market, and I can say that the harvest in Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan is very slow. There was a lack of rain this summer, so there's low test weight, low yielding corn out there, and on top of that, a lot of it's on the ground, so the combines are not moving very fast. The elevators in the east were very slow to sell trains for this fall winter delivery period because they were nervous the farmers would fill the bins at home and they wouldn't have enough in the elevator to continue to move it. So I would say the bins are sealed up pretty tight in the east, and that's really helping our central Illinois sales move right on out. Now, as far as the nation as a whole, I can't speak for the Western Belt, but as I said, the Eastern trains are moving very well right now.
Chris, what do you think in Indiana has been the building pace for bins for farmers there?
Well, we don't really, of course, get a measure on that till we get to December from USDA. But I think it's certainly accelerated from what we saw last year. And again, as we looked at our overall situation this fall, just as was mentioned, because particularly the eastern and southern part of the state just simply did not have the yields, our storage problems were not as great as what you would have seen clearly in most of Illinois and Iowa.
Let's take a look at DSO 8 futures now. They're within a dime of the contract high. Steve, will it penetrate the 434.5 next week or sometime near in the near term?
It's hard to put a time frame on it. I think it's entirely possible. I think as the again, as the oil goes, as the dollar goes, and I think we're going to get into a somewhat of a bidding war, if you'd like to call that, acres of corn versus acres of beans. What are farmers going to plant, and what's it going to take to encourage acres? So I think it is possible to take out last year's highs on that, and but the timing of it is going to be very, very difficult to put a handle on, as it is in all these markets. These are areas that a lot of us are not familiar with as far as fundamentals side of things, and obviously there's a lot of speculative money in this that will probably continue to play these markets out.
Speaking of that speculative money and areas that we're not particularly familiar with, Chris, maybe you can help us out. The index funds probably will be looking to roll their long positions into deferred months sometime soon. They're long 375,000 corn contracts. How might this occur, in your opinion?
Well, obviously, those are major questions, and I think what it really reflects is that we certainly have potential to make new highs on these contracts. I'd pull back into the beans and say the same kind of things on the soybeans. There's tremendous interest in the market. We've seen the equity markets weak, of course, late this week. Wall Street Journal ran several articles this week on the how hot commodities were, and I think we're going to continue to draw money into those. What it probably says is we're going to have some really volatile price movements. I think we all anticipate that, and I say I think that means that we really as producers need to be ready to take some action when we get the upside opportunities.
Chris, on these rolls, are they going to roll on out to the 08, or will they stop at July of 07 on corn particularly? What's your feeling on that?
Well, I guess I don't have a strong feeling on that. Again, looking at those spreads, I think they'll probably, as we reflect, relatively close to full carry in those markets, probably roll at least on out to July and not go to the on out to the December would be my guess at this point.
Taking a look at the soybean market for the week. November's this week had a high of $10.18.5. They're low at $9.64.25. Settlement price above $10 at $10.01.75. Up 6.25 from last week. November's at $9.68.5. We're up 2.5 cents from last week. Soybeans closed the week strong Friday with the nearby November punching through and holding above the $10, as we just heard. It's believed that this strength came in large part because of new crude oil contract highs. And maybe we should go to Chris and ask him what the relationship historically between oil and soybeans has been.
Well, there's a relationship just from the standpoint of a speculative market, and that is a historic relationship that we've seen. But we do have another connection now, of course, as we're using that soybean oil for biodiesel. So I think that really reinforces that you will tie such things as dollars and other commodities to soybean prices. And soybean prices, therefore, are going to be one of the first speculated commodities on the ag side.
Does that mean it's also one of the first that the speculators will get out of?
Well, I think that's right, and this sets us up for a lot of volatility potentially. I think maybe it's not a wild statement to say that we could see a range of $3 or more on soybeans sometime during this marketing year. Now, again, several things will have to fall into place for that to occur. It may be a little weather problem in South America, continued stronger exports that we're not off on a super strong start on soybean export sales, but that we end up seeing the world get nervous on soybean stocks, just like we saw on wheat stocks back in August. So I think a lot of potential variability, and again, that's going to be the nature of this year coming up.
Chris, on the census soy oil stocks that were released this week, it was interesting for me anyway to look at the biodiesel use for the month. It was off almost 100 million pounds at 279 million, which compared to 376 in August and 347 last year. Is this a function of just beans being too high for biodiesel to work now?
Well, biodiesel, of course, has not tended to have as strong of economics for the blenders as what ethanol has. Ethanol was, we saw it in the last half of September have some very bleak returns. And I think what we'd have to suggest then was that it was even worse for the biodiesel producers. So we probably had a lot of capacity, and I shouldn't say a lot, but at least a greater amount of our capacity. We ran at a smaller rate of capacity than what we had been running, would be my guess.
Chris, there's a lot of talk about the biodiesel right now, and I know that's really drawing into our soybean oil stocks, but how does the Asian markets play into this as far as people being able to afford vegetable oil?
Obviously what we're seeing in the, particularly the Chinese market, is very rapid food inflation, great concern within the Chinese government about that level of inflation and potential for social unrest. So I think what we're actually anticipating is that we will see pretty strong exports, oil, probably certainly the soybeans also, as they try to increase supply to moderate the rate of inflation on food. Now, the other question, of course, is, well, isn't there a point at which a developing country just simply can not pay the price? And I think that's part of the ultimate question here on the soybeans and the soybean products, and that is basically we're going to be tight on soybeans in the USDA balance sheet. USDA analysts have said, well, we're going to have to ration, cut back, let's take that out of the export side. I think given the weakness of the dollar, given the relative strength of the growth in those Asian economies, particularly China, I think there would be a question whether they really will be the reduction in the exports, and therefore what that says is will prices have to go even higher to ration out usage, either in those export countries that are buy from us or in the United States.
I agree with you, and I've seen that soybean sales on the year are down 5%, while shipments are down 17%. I guess there's just a fundamental difference in my thought of, okay, yes, these foreign countries are going to be needing our soy products, yet they're not leaving the country. So that's kind of where I was looking with that. And
yeah.
I'm still not clear on where this all shakes out. It's going to be interesting. I think it's a good thing for the American farmer to be growing soybeans right now because of this problem.
Well, I think that's right. And again, we see the USDA numbers are off about 13% on anticipated exports this year. If you look at the commitments, what we've exported so far, plus sales, we're only down about 5%. So what that would suggest is that the world has been buying more aggressive when you look at unshipped sales that are already on the book.
Wyatt, what do you think the acreage spread for next year in the U.S. will be in that case? And then what do you think it should be?
Well, I know the trade's looking for about a 9 million acre swing on the soybeans, and it's going to be very, very localized as far as where that mixes out. I say in Champaign County, our average producer is going to remain heavy corn. I can say in southern Illinois, people who were burned a little bit in this past year are probably going to put wheat in the ground and follow that up with soybeans, and I think that's true all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. I'd say all of the Delta should be planting wheat, following that up with soybeans. And the western crop guys under irrigation, I think they still like corn. And just did a little crop budget this week, and I would say that corn still looks more profitable today. It's more expensive to put in the ground, but if we can have the weather this upcoming year, corn seems more profitable, but you're spending a lot of money to put the crop out there. And back to the Eastern Belt, I could see those guys going back to a closer 50-50 rotation and not really wanting to go heavy corn, and that's mostly based on being burned in this past year. So I think there's a lot of time. Our customers are leaving their options open. Got a lot of people that started putting in on putting on anhydrous this past week, and that pretty much locks it into going into corn, but there's still people that are leaving those fringe acres open to see what happens through the winter months on price.
That takes care of what they will do or are doing, but what do you think they should do? And maybe you could just talk about East Central Illinois at that point.
Absolutely. And back to what I mentioned a bit ago on the crop budget, corn still seems more profitable around here. So if you're an East Central Illinois farmer, put a pencil to it and see what works for your operation. But I think the dollars come in the form of corn in the upcoming year.
Chris, that true in Indiana?
Well, we're actually, of course, been pushing as hard as we can on the double crop wheat and soybeans, but largely we're coming to the end of any planting opportunities in the southern part of the state. Right now, our budgets are suggesting pretty much indifference, if you just look at the dollars of returns between corn and soybeans, and what that tells me is there will be some tendency to want to come back to more beans simply because we had so much corn on corn in 2007, and that gives an opportunity to bring back some beans. Final thing I think we're trying to tell producers is that the world now is a dynamic place. You can't just fall back to your rotations that we got into the last 10 years, but the world is short on most of these major crops. If we have good weather or bad weather in South America for growing either corn or soybeans, then whatever is the shortest of the short crops, the market will bid aggressively for that for the 2008 crop. So remain a little bit flexible if people can. And I know that can't be very much, but maybe 15-20% of their acreage with some flexibility.
December oats at the CME Group's Chicago Board of Trade, 293. The settlement this week up 14.5 cents. Wheat futures like this, December contract, an 830 high, a low at 774. December wheat settled at $7.78.5 after a really topsy-turvy week. Just 21.25 cents lower for the week. July futures at $6.70 for the new crop harvest month, off 7 cents. Steve, how much wheat do you think a producer ought to be selling at this point?
with the projected acreage switch that we've seen from Keith Collins at the USDA and from Informa, who came out with some, they basically came out with corn and bean acres, but we think at these prices you definitely need to be getting some of your new wheat crop priced. Anytime wheat, and I think you're over $6 or have been, haven't you?
Yeah, $6.30 cash tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a tremendous price if you've got wheat to sell. Probably I'd get up to 50% sold, to be honest with you.
And Chris, since you're pushing Indiana farmers in the southern part of the state to do a wheat soybean for next year, how far along do you think they ought to be sold on wheat?
Well, I think pretty aggressive. You know, I did go back and look at historicals on July wheat, and we tend to go down on July wheat futures. Now, talking about the next season's crop for the harvest from about October through the first of the year. So, again, I think we should be pretty aggressive at that. Another thing we're looking at is the something for, if you work with broker or market analyst, selling the May futures and then hoping that inverse narrows and rolling it over to the July. So again, producers that are familiar with that can look at it, but be sure to work with an advisor because that is a speculative spread position.
Let's take a look at what happened at the Mercantile Exchange for the week in the cattle pit. December contract, the high this week at $96, the low at $93.80, and a settlement price, and this is a new lead option Friday to Friday, $94.72.5, off $1.42.5. November feeders at $108.35 were down 70 for the week. Lean hog futures, December contract, $55.30, the high, the low at $52.05. December lean hog futures at $52.42.5. Off $2.10. Chris Hurt, December lean hog futures have fallen from nearly $75 in August to a low near $52 this week. Is there time to recover anytime soon?
Well, you do have to say, wow, that is a tremendous surprise to us as we've seen these slaughter supplies run much higher than we expected. We thought we'd be maybe 3%, 3 to 3.5% more hogs in October. We ran 7% more. we're right up against slaughter capacity of about 430,000 head a day. And so that has this market real nervous and talking about how bad it got in 1998. Now, again, we tend to seasonally have our biggest slaughter runs very late October and through about the 10th of November. So I think from a seasonal standpoint, we at least have some hope out there that these slaughter runs will abate just a bit as we get another week or so and maybe can build some recovery in this market back into the low 40s anyway for live weight prices late November and December.
1998, 2002, would we be headed into that kind of area again anytime soon?
Well, again, we don't think we will see that. Of course, we didn't think we'd see that in 1998 when we had the $8 hogs that we reached. But again, that year we were expecting, I forget, something in the range of 5% bigger slaughter supplies, and we actually ran around 12 to 13% in October and November. So, again, we're not that extremely higher than expectations at this particular point. And so we certainly hope we will turn this market here, I think, in the next week or so. We'll see some bottoming and then perhaps $3 to $4 of improvement going into December.
Chris, just as a curiosity question, the difference in price from the $8, $10 beans from several years ago in relationship to the price, soybean meal and so on and so forth, basically your inputs, what does that relate to in today's dollars?
Okay, and again, I guess I'm in terms of inflation-adjusted prices
just
for soybeans and soybean meal.
Right, just for what a producer has to pay, what's he have to have in comparison when hogs were $10? Because
okay.
Obviously meal and corn was a lot cheaper back then.
Yeah, that's right. And again, I think cost of production now, we're looking at probably around $47, $48. We had quite a few plants only at about $37 on hogs here towards the end of the week. So we're looking at pretty substantial losses in that $10 per hundredweight range. Now, again, hog producers have had a very good profit run going back to 2004. So as a general statement, they have a pretty strong financial position. But still, losses of these magnitudes probably will get the hog industry thinking about making some adjustments finally to these higher costs of feed, which they just have not made yet.
Chris, we appreciate you being with us. Any final word before we let you go today?
Well, again, I think work with your market advisor. Be ready because there's going to be a lot of action in these markets.
Chris Hurd is a Purdue Extension ag economist. Steve Schilling is from Strategic Farm Marketing. A final word from you?
Just a quote that I heard this week. You know, these markets are just like riding a great horse. You never want to get off. But you eventually have to, but just don't get bucked off.
And Wyatt Muse of the Andersons.
I like that, Steve. And for the guys who are not willing sellers today, please establish a area in your own mind where you're willing to sell and think about getting some offers in there, because odds are we can get there and be right back where we're at in a very quick hurry. And also be safe out there as we wrap up fall field operations.
Good advice. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week weekly analysis, cash grain reports, and weather and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. Have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.